Dr. D. Yvonne Young is an expert on human behavior and building fulfilling relationships. He is a master credentialed expert on personality type, highly sought after keynote speaker and media personality. Dr. D is an ICF credentialed master certified coach. He is a certified professional diversity coach, a national board certified health and wellness coach, as well as a credentialed master MBTI practitioner. I'm glad I do not have to say those very often, sir. That is evidence of a lot of very hard work. Welcome to the show, Dr. D.
Thank you, man. It's I don't have to say that a lot either, so that makes two of us.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
At day's end, I'm a guy that just cares about people. I think that we live in a world where kindness, empathy, and compassion is in short supply. My mission in life is to be a guy that hopefully reflects those decisions, because they're not so much character traits, though people think they are, but the decision to be kind, to be empathetic, and to be compassionate is something I strive for. In terms of personal life, I've dedicated my entire existence, especially in this season in my life, to creating transformational outcomes for people and helping people to get answers to questions they didn't even know to ask.
I like that a lot. We need to have, there's so much value in a good question and to be able to ask somebody else, but then to be able to turn that around and ask ourselves, because there's a lot to uncover, but we need the right tool. And sometimes a question could be the right tool.
Yeah, definitely that. You know, when I look at offerings like your podcast, so many people are searching for an answer. They just don't know to what. And when we take a moment to look at the things that are probably getting on our nerves, the stuff that's going on right here, right in your face, there's a bunch of nuggets behind that. And my experience has been the more challenging the season, the more troubling the turmoil, there's probably something inside of there that is stimulating or agitating you, so that something deep inside of you or something that's just right at the surface been trying to break through now has justification to reveal itself.
So the stuff that we find ourselves looping on or being irritated by, that's potentially data for us.
Definitely. I mean, have you ever had a season in your life where you look back and you're just looking at everything you did well? Well, many of us have, some haven't. But if you look at a season in your life where you were pressed, where back was to the wall, you may have felt hopeless, discouraged, but somehow you tapped into some part of yourself that you may or may not know existed. That's the stuff that gives us self-efficacy. That's the stuff that attracts people to us. Nobody cares about how you shine, but they do care and appreciate when they can look at you, see themselves in you, and have some hope. That's a big thing.
Self-efficacy. Tell me more about that.
You know, self-efficacy in short definition is when someone can revisit a time or a situation where they were had the back up against the wall, where they had to figure a way out. In some way, they did. The more that you do that, it gives you courage that the next time something challenges you, you can remember, well, I remember that time when, or, you know, the other day. So if I made it through that, I can make it through this. That's a powerful thing.
People talk about, they say leveling up, and that's sort of a trite, kind of a throwaway term these days. But that's sort of what that is you're proving to yourself that you're capable. You're proving to yourself that you're somebody that I can rely on myself. I know that when the bad things happen, a storm comes, that I'm not going to just be crushed by it.
And when you're working with a clinician, a coach, a mentor, even if you're a leader in an executive situation, your job is to ask people these open-ended questions and allow them to tap into the strengths that they have. Because here's the thing. As a dually master credential practitioner, if I give you the answer, what did you learn? And then if I give you an answer and it doesn't work, who are you going to blame? So the truth is, my better bet is to remind you of who you are and what you're capable of. And if I can do that through us interacting clinically, that's called motivational interviewing. Another term is appreciative inquiry. But when we do things like that, we actually tap into neurochemistry, and at that point, neuroscience kicks in. If I may, George, can I explain this a bit? Do I have your permission?
Please.
When we look at our typical day, many of us are walking around in fight or flight mode, and we don't even know it. So a couple of examples. In prehistoric times and earlier evolutions of mankind, it was the growl in the bushes, right? Or late at night, your fire didn't give you enough illumination for you to see what's over there. So you hear something growl or something move, and you kind of wake up, you perk up, and you know you're either going to have to fight or run or just be still if you want to live. Well, in 2026, that happens just because we got a text message from somebody. That happens, seriously, it happens one dopamine hit at a time when you're going through a social media scroll, because that algorithm, it's got you. It's got you. And if you notice the pattern, the algorithm gives you a balance of titillation to the point you read X number of posts that piss you off. And then you look at another post that has the little puppy and the guy that's doing something stupid, so you laugh. And so what it is, it's almost like a dysfunctional relationship that you're being groomed for, because you're either really happy or you're really pissed. And then we do that to ourselves. You know, we are very much vulnerable and triggered by certain things, but we try to find happiness sometimes the wrong way, through a joint or a bottle or sex or, you know, what have you. So the thing that we would be wise to do now is to look at what's going on with me. You know, what do I need? Why am I acting the way that I'm acting? Because when I teach this to young physicians and even experienced licensed clinicians, one thing I tell them over and over is you cannot talk to the psychology until you get the physiology under control. So within ourselves, it's a good idea to think about, okay, am I stressed? Why is my heartbeat rapid? Or why do I not feel like getting out to bed or doing anything? Well, that's a sign that you have been limbic hijacked and your amygdala is running the show. And for us to be productive, for us to grow, we have to stop operating from the middle of the brain, which is the survival center, and start using this stuff in the prefrontal cortex so that we can live by intention.
I think we all want to do that. Do most people want that? We just have no idea what it is we're doing. We don't recognize what you just took us through, that we're all operating in fight or flight, and it's been, whether it's been intentional or not, it's happening to us. But would most people prefer to not be led around?
You know, yeah, this is something, George, that you're hitting on, because some people don't even know they have a choice. Many people get stuck in survival mode, and they're like the proverbial hamster on the wheel. It's just the faster I run, the more the wheel spins. Okay, I'm tired, I'll just walk. The wheel is still spinning. You never got off the wheel. I don't think people, if they were aware that they're not operating at their best, if people are made aware that, are you hearing how you're talking to yourself? Oh, that was so blank and stupid. Shh, man, why in the hell did I do that? Well, would you allow someone else to talk to you that way? Probably not. If you heard someone talk to someone you love, like your mom or your dad or somebody you're trying to protect, like your kid, would you let the teacher talk to your child like that? So why are you talking to you like that? When I wrote Leading from the Heart, one of the biggest factors that caused me to write that book, I'd gotten diagnosed with this cancer diagnosis. And, in my youth, like a lot of people in the 80s and 90s, I smoked pot and drank and partied and all that. But I hadn't done that stuff literally, man, in over 20 some years. Why in the hell did I end up with a retromolar oral cancer? And then by the time it manifests, it took off like, some Olympian running the 440. It went from stage two to stage four and rapid. I'm like, wait. So one day I was doing one of these Facebook Live things, and maybe about every month I had between 300,000 and 600,000 people tuning into this stuff. Next thing you know, George, I'm out in this kind of off biking area of hiking. And I would always be in these nature settings when I do these prayers and these commentaries. And right after I got off, I started tearing up. Now I'm not a guy, I guess I'm old school. I'm a man's man, that's what my daddy would say. But I started tearing up, and I heard this little voice. Some people may call it God, some people the Holy Spirit, an angel, whatever you want to call it. But I know damn well I heard this voice tell me, "It's okay to be scared." And I was like, not scared. And well, let me tell the truth. Who wouldn't be scared if, one, you're faced with stage four cancer? Two, I've never had a surgery, let alone one that was going to involve seven surgical teams in 12 hours, 7 to 12 hours, which it ended up being over 12 hours. Well, that taught me about empathy. Self-empathy. It taught me about compassion, self-compassion. And when I realized that that's not a benevolent trait, that's not a pious behavior, those things are strategic and they're actionable, meaning they're skills. The issue with many of us is that we have that done to us on a daily basis. And the closest source is look at the algorithms. You go look at some shoes, next thing you know, every time you turn your doggone phone on, shoes, right? Or if you're watching TV, politicians do a great job of, pardon my language, exploiting us, but I really want to use the word pimping us, and by telling us, you don't like this person and you shouldn't, because look what they're taking from you, or look at this. This is a threat. You need me to solve the problem. And we weren't even thinking about being threatened. We weren't thinking about this person. But when people speak to your voids, your fears, the things you feel you have no control over, that's weaponized empathy. And basically, when they do that to you, they only want you to vote. Once they get your vote, they could care less about you. Once they get you to buy that product, okay, good luck on the service. Go buy that car. Well, in 2 years, you're going to be pissed about that car, right? So we can use empathy in a positive way. We can ask ourselves, what do I need right now? Maybe, and for many of your listeners, George, if some people, they need to tell somebody no and realize it's a complete sentence. You don't need to explain anything. No is a complete sentence. And when I say that, I mean setting up boundaries. There are times when you need to tell yourself no and ask yourself, instead of drinking another bottle of wine or smoking another joint, what else could I do? Okay, maybe go for a walk. That sounds awfully boring. But see, when you go for the walk, you're not doing something that's messing up the surfactant and the alveoli in your lungs, nor are you eroding your kidneys and your liver, right? So by being empathetic with ourselves, we have an opportunity to change the quality of our lives as well as increasing our longevity and our well-being.
Beautifully said. So, what do I need right now? Let's say I need a release. I'm gonna go have that beer. I'm gonna go smoke that joint. Then what? Whatever. Say, okay, I could do that, but those have negative consequences to me. What else could I be doing? I could take a walk. First and foremost, do people have a hard time? You mentioned I'm a guy's guy. I'm not gonna cry. I'm strong. I'm not gonna do that. So, what am I doing? I just need to sort of bear down and kind of get through this.
Yeah.
Is there some of that going on too with people?
Well, here's the deal. We have times in life where we do need to bear down and we need to push through. But when we've been bearing down and pushing through every damn day, how is that good, right? How is it good when we don't rest, when we don't do something as simple as just say, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to chill. Yeah, one of our issues with technology is we have become enslaved by it rather than liberated with by it. And when we abandon things like enjoying a good conversation with an old friend, but we can see them online and we can click on and do a fist bump or LOL or look at, if we really want to show up, do a GIF. Oh man, what about calling this dude and just say, "Hey, bro, how are you?" Because men, especially men, I wrote a blog on that. We don't do that. We don't call each other and just say, "Man, I was thinking about you. You good? Are you all right?" We don't say things like, "I just want to tell you, man, I haven't forgot about you. I haven't forgot about that time when I needed you and you had my back. Why don't we go shoot some pool or throw some darts, right?" These things that we have adapted that cause us to tell someone what we do before we tell them what we're called. That's a problem. Another sign is when you look more forward to leaving home than you do coming home, or the other one, you don't want to spend any time by yourself. Well, if you don't want to be alone with you, why in the hell would somebody else want to be alone with you? Because these things are warning signs. They're yellow and, in my opinion, sometimes red flags snapping in the wind. So it would be a good idea. One day, here's an exercise I'm going to give you guys. Just map your thoughts for a half a day. Like every hour, take a pen, use your phone, and just write a, type in what did I think about the last hour? And be honest, just whatever it is. Like, what did I think about? Then after 6 to 12 hours, preferably if you can do this for 2 days, it's even better. But if after 12 hours you look at that list, and on that list you had drink a beer 5 times. On that list, you had some chick or some guy's name 5 times. That should tell you that your attention is much more focused on things that are external to you, and you're not paying enough attention to what's going on with you internally.
Some more really good evidence right there. Is it prudent to sit down and think about a list of activities that you could pivot to or make the decision of? So when you do catch yourself wanting to do something mildly destructive or extremely destructive, that you could say, nope, I've made the decision that I'm going to do X, Y, or Z.
I think that is a great starting point. There's this theorem called the trans-theoretical model of change. And it basically says pre-contemplation, that's like, I don't know. I don't care if I do this. I don't even know if I want to. Then there's contemplation where you're weighing, okay, if I do, what's the cause versus the benefit? And then there's this preparation stage where it's like, you know what? That's the fourth pair of pants I put on. Hell, I can't button them up. Maybe I need to stop eating and go into the gym. So I'm going to go to, so that preparation stage is powerful. Well, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about that time when you have now contemplated and thought about, man, I smoked. I got three packs of cigarettes. I see three packs. And I bought three packs to last me 3 days. Why in the hell did I do that? Or you look up and you're like, okay, that's the I'm smoking it. I remember when I was smoking pot when I was younger. I would smoke a joint in the morning because I just woke up. Then, okay, it's time to eat lunch. I'd smoke a joint. Okay, well, just got home from class or work. Let me smoke another joint. All right, this chick is coming over. Let me smoke a joint. And I started realizing, I'm like, what is wrong with you? I mean, everything you want to amplify by smoking a joint. Well, some people are laughing at me because they're like, that's some old school shit. No, it's not. The truth is, we all do that. Some people do it with a glass of wine. Some people do it with religion. Some people do it with work. Bottom line is, you have empowered something other than you to help you escape your own life. And what we have to think about is, if I am going to make that decision, like what you said earlier, George, is that let me at least have a plan. Let me think that, you know what, I might still smoke this joint, but if I do, I'm not going to do it till after I'm going to get up from here. I'm going to walk around the block a couple of, I'm going to ride my bicycle, and I'm going to ride my bike and a Peloton. If you can't go outside, I'm going to get on the Peloton. I'm going to spend 30 minutes, and then I'm going to do whatever my crutch is, right? Pretty soon, if you continue that behavior, you're not going to need the crutch. But it happens by taking that first step.
I love it. What are you empowering in your life? Dr. D, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for walking us through these and for giving us a lot to think about. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Well, it's real simple. My middle name is controversial because it's Yvonne, but it's Doctor. Put the D in front of it. Here's why. There's a guy that has, well, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but just put the D in front of my name. So it's D and spell like Ivan, Ivan, last name Young. You could just Google me or put, ask chat or Gemini or Claude or something. But I'm available on all the normal stuff, Instagram, LinkedIn, what have you. The books, you can just type my name in or go into any bookstore and my books are there. And my TED Talks and all that junk is on YouTube. Bottom line, hit me up. And if there's anything I can do to help you get to know you better and have you live the life that I know you deserve, please reach out. I'm definitely here for you.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Dr. D your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You could find Dr. D on all over the internet. It's D. Yvonne Young. You can pick up his books. I will link to those in the notes of the show. You can find his TED Talks on YouTube. I will link to those in the notes of the show as well as everywhere else and encourage you to get in touch with him. Thanks again, Dr. D.
Hey, George, thanks for having me, man. It was a blast.
Yeah, pleasure. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.